Looking for a great dining experience in Charlottesville? Look no further than the Aberdeen Barn. The barn has been family-owned and operated since 1965, with Terry and Angela providing great atmosphere and mouth-watering food at Virginia's big-time steakhouse. Enjoy the fine dining or relax in the Sportsman's Bar, a fantastic place to wind down and socialize, surrounded by flat-screen televisions tuned to the latest sporting events. You never know who you might bump into at the Aberdeen Barn, where all the greatest Cavaliers have dined over the decades and keep coming back for the delicious menu and good times. Check it out online at aberdeenbarn.com or call 434-296-4630. Welcome to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show with Chris Graham.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show podcast with my co-host Chris Graham. Thank you for joining us, and it's our pleasure. It's our Good Health Weekly Good Health Podcast, giving you all kinds of tips and advice on your health and how to become a more fit, healthy person. Our special guest today is Dr. Winston Guathme of UVA Orthopedics. And Winston is a familiar face on voice on our podcast. And we're going to talk a little bit today about rehabbing. And I thought we'd jump right in to one case that's comes up every week in Bronco Mendenhall's press conferences, and that's the rehabbing of Lavelle Davis Jr., the great wide receiver from Virginia, who's out with an ACL injury suffered in the spring. Welcome, Winston.
Thank you for having me, Jerry. I really appreciate being here.
Great for you to take some time out for us and share your knowledge with our audience. And let's jump right into Lavelle. I know Bronco each week brings up that he's ahead of schedule. He hurt his knee in the spring, obviously. Virginia fans kind of jump the gun a little bit and think, well, then he's going to definitely be back this season. That's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, it's always difficult with ACL injuries. I think just to really kind of backtrack on kind of how you evaluate these injuries and evaluate the rehab process. It takes a long time for the knee to recover from that injury. The ACL, the anterior cruciate ligament, is basically the hinge for the entire knee joint. And when you injure that, the function of the knee is definitely damaged. And what ends up happening is people lose a lot of strength around that. So anybody who's had ACL injury can attest to the fact that 3, 4, or 5 months out from that surgery, they still don't have nearly enough strength in that leg to be protective from further injury. And the very last thing we ever want to do is expose an athlete to a re-injury of that knee. And so I think when you're looking at timelines for those injuries, it's not like a month to month. It usually ends up being a 9 to 12 month recovery process for most athletes. And so, you know, having had the injury in the spring, most of us in the orthopedic community kind of felt the fall was going to be kind of out of the question for Lavelle or for any athlete who injures himself in the spring.
Yeah. We've reported it. A lot of people have reported it. This was a second ACL for him. He also experienced his first one in high school down in South Carolina. Does that make it even more, are you even more leery or does
that make it better? Of course you are.
Yeah.
I think it matters a lot because, I mean, you really only get, so just to talk about how ACLs are repaired or reconstructed, in order to rebuild your ACL, you end up borrowing tissue from that knee and you weave it back up from the knee and fix it with screws. And you don't have just an abundance of tissue you can use. In some cases you might use a kneecap tendon. Sometimes you might use your hamstring tendons or the quadriceps tendons. And so you really don't get, it's not like you're just changing out a tire, you know, redoing an ACL, you know, it's a much different surgery the second time around. And there's two things you have to worry about. One is what was the predisposing anatomy that caused a second injury? Like does this athlete have a propensity to tear his ACL? And two, what's the psychology behind it? Because, you know, probably the hardest thing to come back from ACL injury is actually just the psychology of re-injuring your knee. Anybody who's ever injured themselves, you know, you get out there and you're running around and you're always in the back of your mind, like, is this going to be the move I make that re-injures my knee? And it's hard to get an athlete through that in lots of cases. That's speaking in general terms, not necessarily to this athlete, but when you've torn it twice, it's got to be in the back of your mind. And so I think that the timeline for a revision ACL is going to be longer because you want to address whatever the anatomy behind the re-injury was and to address the psychology of getting back to play. So I do think that, you know, you got to kind of pump the brakes as far as trying to recover the guy as fast as possible. It's a long-term investment, especially for an athlete as gifted as this one, who has a long career in football. I think you get one chance to get this right. And so I think that's what we think about in this scenario.
Yeah, I can speak from experience, Winston. I tore my ACL senior year of high school, and the mental part was tough. The mental part of the rehab was tough. In the case of Lavelle Davis Jr., he's already been through it once, so he kind of knows more second time through what the rehab process is going to be. But yeah, you don't trust your knee for a while. It took me probably a year to, and that was just with a one injury. It took me about a year before I would not be thinking about it anymore. And I was at that point, I wasn't even an athlete anymore. I was a amateur athlete playing pickup basketball on grounds. But every time anybody came anywhere near my knee, I was fearful that it was going to happen again. So getting that fear away is a big part of this.
You use an important word there, the word trust. Trusting your body to do what you want to do is an important part of performing well. And it's an important part of preventing re-injury. If you don't trust your knee and you alter the way you run or the way you play, you're actually putting yourself probably at more risk to re-injury because you're guarding the dynamics of your movements. And so you might be at more risk of injuring either the knee or even another part of your body. And so I think that, you know, given in this specific scenario, all of us want him back. He wants to be back. I can promise you that. This team is just such a dynamic team this year, as everybody can see from our first two games. And adding an athlete like that would just be unbelievable. But I think he's got to pump the enthusiasm for getting him back and think more or less about the future of both this team and of this athlete. So I don't have inside knowledge on the case, to be honest. I don't think that any given week we're going to see him out there warming up. Okay. I think we can wait for the spring on this one.
Yeah. It's funny. Bronco said a couple of weeks ago, he has to actually kick him out of drills. He tries to jump into drills, sneak in.
That's how these kids are. I mean, these kids, they want to compete. I mean, they're competitors. There's a reason why there's Division I athletes and there's those of us who aren't. I mean, talent's part of it, but also the will to win and the will to compete. And kids like this, they have it, you know, and this kid has it. And so as a physician, now I'm going to put my, you know, sort of the doctor hat on. Sometimes you actually have to be the reins on some of these athletes. I've seen a lot of athletes who are like, I'm ready to roll, and you know they're not quite ready. And I can actually just, if it's okay, I can talk about kind of how do you analyze if somebody's ready yet for the ACL injury. We have objective data to how to analyze that, and probably the most important thing we look at is symmetry. So, you know, orthopedic surgeons we're pretty simple people. And the beauty about doing what we do is we always have the other side to compare it to. And so what I'm trying to figure out, is this knee ready yet? I can look at the other knee and I can determine how close is this both strength, range of motion, function to the other knee. And we have parameters that control that and allow us to help these athletes return to play. So that's kind of how we objectively look at it. And so that's why some athletes are ready at 6, 7, 8 months and some aren't, based on that objective data.
That's a very good point. What's your analysis? I know you're a big Virginia sports fan, Winston, always have been. What's your analysis of the team thus far, and particularly going into this weekend?
Well, I was telling them I was excited to be on this specific podcast because we're 2-0 and we're looking pretty freaking good right now, as far as I can tell, you know. So like, it's amazing the level of optimism early season success brings. And so like, I'm wondering about getting tickets to, you know, the FCS play or the FBS playoffs, you know. But we look great. I mean, Brandon Armstrong, I think, is a really unique talent. He talk about toughness. That kid is about as tough as they come. He's got all the elements to be a leader on this team, and the team really responds to his performance. And so I think that as long as we have him leading the charge, I think we're going to be in good shape. And then, oh, by the way, we have 3, 4, 5 other quarterbacks who like to skip during the mix. And so exactly. You kind of never know. How funny is it that we have a position on our team just called football player? Have you ever heard of that before, Jerry, in all your years?
Not until last year when Bronco mentioned that I guess he stole it or borrowed it from the Saints. The Saints listed Taysom Hill as FBP on their roster last year. So I think Broncos kind of borrowed that phrase.
Which is ironic since, I mean, didn't Bronco coach Taysom as well in college? And so it's interesting. He clearly has an eye out for a specific type of player. Brennan being one of them, Ton Thompson being another one. All these athletes are just, they're football players.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I am buying stock in this team. I really am. We've had some down years, we've all been through some of these down years, but this year just seems to have a little bit different. It's cultural. If you think about it, Jerry, it really is just a mindset this team has that, even if they don't win on paper, these guys are winners. They're going to do a good job. They're going to, they're going to be a team that any fan can root for.
No question. And as you mentioned about Armstrong's performance, he made a huge splash last week around the country, winning all kinds of MVP or Player of the Week kind of awards from various organizations. And not everybody does that. That was pretty special.
I mean, you remember before the season, he wasn't even on the radar for a lot of these ACC. If you look at the list of top quarterbacks, they go 5, 6, 7, 8 quarterbacks deep before you see Armstrong's name. And I was just like, what are the people not seeing in this kid? I mean, you see flashes of it last year and then this year. I hope that he can continue the momentum.
Yeah, I do too. That would be special. Well, I think we're at the end of our time. Thank you so much for this week's interview, Winston, and we'll get back with you pretty soon. And hopefully,
I really enjoyed this.
Hopefully, we'll be able to talk a little bit more about football.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Jerry. I really appreciate being on.
Appreciate you, brother.
Blue Ridge Bank is the proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show and JerryRatcliffe.com. Founded in 1893, Blue Ridge Bank has more than a century of customer-based service, but is forward-thinking and features digital banking free and available 24/7. CEO Brian Plum and his team are strong supporters of UVA Athletics. And check this out. Blue Ridge Bank is home of the $100,000 jackpot drawing to one lucky customer every year. How can you beat that? Banking smarter, simplified. Blue Ridge Bank's mission is strong customer service. Make Blue Ridge Bank your bank today. Visit mybrb.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show podcast with my co-host Chris Graham. This is our weekly Good Health podcast, and we'd like to welcome in one of our new sponsors, ACAC, who I'm sure you're all familiar with. I'm a member. My girlfriend's a member. She's there like every day. she loves the place. She said it's the best gym she's ever joined, and she used to belong to a big gym in Atlanta, so that was a real compliment to you guys. One thing I'd like to plug for ACAC, if you go to my website, they are offering a 3-day free membership. Just go to my website and click on the code Jerry, and it will give you a little pop-up form. You fill it out, send it in to them. You'll get a 3-day free membership to experience all the wonderful physical machines, everything that they got, swimming pools, all kinds of weight machines and aerobic exercise, you name it. Our next guest will be able to plug that as well. Let's welcome in Kim Starr, Executive Director of Physical Therapy at ACAC. Welcome, Kim. How are you?
Good, Jerry. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking some time out to join us today. This is exciting. We hope we can get you a lot more people in there to work on their health and to change their bodies and get fit.
Thank you. We hope we can help them.
I'm sure you can. You're Director of Physical Therapy. Let's talk a little bit about that. Dr. Winston Guathme of UVA Orthopedics just joined us and was talking about the ACL rehab. I guess let's jump into that for a couple of minutes and just talk about how that process works and how important it is when you have knee surgery and how important it is to do the proper rehab so that leg, that knee will be as strong as ever.
Yeah, absolutely. We always joke with our patients and say that from a physical therapy standpoint, Our most important thing is to make the surgeon look really good. So it's, you know, the surgeons and the physical therapists, we work so closely together. It's a hand in hand partnership. I mean, you have that level of relationship like we have with these docs, it's makes the experience for the patient that much better. But the physical therapy, quite honestly, Jerry, is so important. Obviously, you have to have a really good surgeon and a really, you know, good surgery. But also the physical therapy piece of it, you know, that's the part that really gets these athletes or even non-athletes, because we have a lot of weekend warriors or middle-aged people that also suffer ACL injuries, but it's the physical therapy piece that really gets them to the finish line, back doing what they want to and back into the fitness center.
I guess, you know, if you don't rehab properly, it can cause you other problems as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the big things with ACL is getting your motion back, is making sure that you have full motion of your knee, but you can't just limit that motion to the knee. You have to make sure that you're looking at the ankle and the hip and sometimes even all the way into the spine, based on what level of extent their injury was. But focusing on that knee range of motion, and quite frankly, anybody that had a surgery will tell you that they're not going to bend that knee by themselves. It's just too, you know, too painful initially.
Well, knock on wood, I've never had one of those, but Chris has, and
I can
attest to that.
I can attest to the physical therapy. I got to a point where I was going slower than my therapist expected, and he told me something about towel therapy at that time. This is 1990, so I was in high school when this happened. And I said, what's towel therapy? Well, I'll give you a towel to bite on, and I'll just kind of push your knee back a little bit there. And I said, no, I want to try harder. I'll get through this. You don't need to do that. But I think, Kim, what folks wouldn't realize is, and for those who are fortunate not to have had an ACL injury, boy, from the fact that I was after my surgery, the muscle atrophied so much that I looked down at my leg and my thigh was as skinny as my ankle, yeah. Which scared me because I thought, what did I do wrong here? But then it took longer to build that back up. I even had to learn how to walk again. Yeah. Because I was off when they took the brace off, and they even told me, oh, you have to learn how to walk again. I don't know how to walk. And it took me a couple of sessions to learn how to walk again. People would be surprised to learn all those things.
Yeah. You know, I think you're right. The good news is that since 1990, the rehab has been a lot more progressive, and the surgeries are, your incision's not as big, and the technique behind the surgery has advanced a ton. So the good news is that if you had, well, you don't want to have your surgery again, Chris, but if you did, it would probably be a different experience. but referencing the atrophy and the gait, that's so many of the things that we focus on in physical therapy, because after surgery, you have a lot of swelling, and swelling inhibits muscle strength and creates atrophy. You're not using the muscle, which creates atrophy, but swelling does that as well. So it's so important to get that early rehab and get with physical therapists that really work in this arena of, you know, post-surgical ACL injuries, because it's a science, but it's also knowing the mechanics, knowing the things that you have to work on initially. And again, it's that range of motion, but it's that early strengthening that you have to know what you're doing. You have to know the complexity of the surgery to do those exercises correctly for the good of the patient.
How soon after a surgery do you guys start the therapy?
Oh gosh, sometimes the next day, wow. But at least it depends on the surgeon, but you know, Dr. Guathme, we get his patients in within 2 days. And that's because you need that early motion and you need that early rehab to decrease the swelling. We use, you know, the Game Ready to help the swelling, which is an ice compression machine. We also, you know, do a lot of manual work on people's legs to help with the swelling and get the range of motion back and show them exactly what exercises they need to be doing right out of the gate.
Yeah, they didn't do that in 1990. It was not 2 days, not within 2 days. No, that, and I wish it had been.
You know, I was a physical therapist in 1990 as well. And how we do rehab now compared to 1990. Oh, I wish I could go back and grab all those patients and apologize. the rehab, you know, and the other thing about physical therapy is that if it's an athlete, even if it's not an athlete, and it's, you know, a mom or a dad or somebody that injured themselves on the ski slope, this is an emotional surgery. It's a hard surgery. And the length of the rehab is long. You know, you're not really out there doing what you want for several months. So to build that relationship with the patients is so important. We try really hard to make therapy as fun as it can be. We joke around with our patients. We get to know them. And, you know, it is that camaraderie that we try to work with them. And the beautiful thing about ACAC is that we have this beautiful facility that we can get patients into, you know, quickly and get them moving with some of the equipment that ACAC has. So we have a lot of advantage. You know, we're very thankful for that our physical therapy clinics are inside the fitness centers, so we can utilize that equipment.
Kim, give us a little background so people can get to know you a little bit. How did ACAC lure you into their company to be their director of physical therapy?
Well, physical therapy at ACAC started about 17 years ago, and Phil Wendell really saw the benefit of physical therapy inside the fitness centers, because a lot of physical therapy is, you know, not just being on a table. It's doing exercise, it's doing activities, and physical therapy clinics can't really afford to have all the equipment that is in fitness centers. So we saw that collaboration. We saw how much physical therapy and fitness can work together. And near the end of somebody's rehab, they need more exercise. So they have that equipment. You know, we have that equipment at our fingertips, which then we can discharge people into. And if they're not here, it could be, you know, another club. But, you know, we really enjoy the amenities and feel very grateful for all the amenities we get to use here. So that's kind of how it started a long time ago. Phil and I talked really closely about the goals of what physical therapy can do for patients. And we, you know, he said, let's do it here. And I said, okay, let's do it. So that's kind of how it all started. And it's just been a wonderful story since the beginning of 2004. And now we have physical therapy in every single fitness center that ACAC has in Charlottesville.
Wow, that's great. Just stress to people out there who have had surgery on whatever ailment they might have had, how important it is to make sure they get into physical therapy as soon as they possibly can and stick with it. I know people that have had a knee or a shoulder or a hip, and they start out, but they don't finish their physical therapy. And it seems like that they're complaining all the time about their, you know, that part of their body. How important is it to follow through to the end?
Yeah, I mean, that's such a good point, Jerry. And Chris can probably speak to that too with his own experience. But, you know, sometimes it's not a magic wand. You know, physical therapy isn't turning on the light switch and you're all better the next visit. And a lot of it is that we stress to our patients is that this is a partnership. You know, we're going to help you the best that we can, but you can't leave the clinic and not do your part at home or do your part in the gym or, you know, do your part at all. And sometimes you feel like, oh, I'm just not getting there, but you have to communicate with the physical therapist, and the physical therapist has to communicate with the patient just to make sure that they know like how they are progressing or what's next. And if they're not progressing, then okay, well, let's look at it from a different angle. Maybe we need to get you back into the doctor and get some kind of imaging or get an x-ray or something like that. Again, it's such a collaboration with the physicians. But I tell people all the time is like, okay, you might not be feeling perfect today, but we're gonna work together. We're gonna find the needle in the haystack. We're gonna get you better. And sometimes you just, like you referenced, you have to just stick with it. The alternative isn't the best option of just saying, oh, I'm just going to live with it. You don't have to live with pain. You don't have to live with immobility. But having that relationship with your physical therapist is really key.
I feel like physical therapy is still ongoing for me 31 years later. I feel like there have been a couple times in my life where I've not been in the greatest shape. And in those times, my knee would bother me. My knee and my leg would bother me. And when I've gotten back into shape, it doesn't. So I don't think physical therapy really ends. I think you just transition from the direct therapy maybe to just fitness. And if you stay in shape, then that will help you avoid the pain and avoid those issues.
Yeah. You know, I think that's also a great point, but I also feel like sometimes when, you know, people in their lives, you know, sometimes things just happen and, you know, your back starts to hurt or your, you know, shoulder starts to hurt and you're like, oh, it's just going to get better. And I do feel like there is a sector of people that feel like physical therapy is only if something is really bad or if they had surgery. But getting in with a physical therapist, even if it's just for a few visits to understand why your back hurts, maybe it's how you're sitting in your chair, or maybe it's looking at your computer screen, but getting in with a physical therapist for even a few visits can really help jumpstart somebody's overall health and wellness. So, you know, definitely don't use, you know, don't definitely people should not think that, you have to have something really bad wrong with you to access physical therapy.
Yeah, and for those out there who may be new in town or don't know that much about ACAC, Kim, tell us about all the locations you have in the Charlottesville area.
Yeah, we our website is a wealth of knowledge, acacpt.com. It shows all of our locations, all of our service lines. But we are in the Albemarle Square location. We're downtown. We're in Crozet. We also have a clinic in Pantops. And we just recently opened a clinic in Waynesboro. Now, there isn't a fitness and wellness center in Waynesboro, but we have a physical therapy clinic in Waynesboro.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And our service lines, we treat everything from this ACL injury that we talked about to any level of sports medicine, sprained ankles, hip pain from running. You know, you could have a runner have hip pain or the good old IT band syndrome, and we treat that. We also treat headaches, people that have jaw pain, neck pain. So their whole avenue of things that the physical therapy can treat. We have 55 clinicians on our team, and all of them have different specialty areas. So we definitely have a physical therapist available for really anything that anybody has wrong.
Well, there you have it, people. It's no excuse for not getting in there if you've got any kind of pain. Go see Kim and her staff, and they'll fix you up, and you'll feel brand new again, and no excuses.
We'd be honored to do so. We love this community and we love helping people in this community, and we'd be honored to treat anybody.
Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us, Kim. We appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Chris, good luck and take care of that knee.
Thanks, Kim.
UVA Orthopedics and Sports Medicine boasts one of the finest teams of doctors in the country, and they're right here in Charlottesville to not only provide care for the University of Virginia athletic teams, but also the Charlottesville and Central Virginia communities. UVA Orthopedics has been a proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show for the past 2 years, with numerous team members featured in weekly segments where doctors share great insight into various sports injuries, what causes them, how to treat them, and recovery time. Their team of experts are there for you and offer the best care to solve your health problems and get you back on your feet. Let their team of specialists get you back in the game.
Welcome back to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show podcast with my co-host, Chris Graham. We just talked to Dr. Winston Guathme of UVA Orthopedics about ACL injuries and rehabbing, and Kim Starr, Executive Director of Physical Therapy at ACAC, who also talked about rehab and how important that is after you come back from an injury. And now we're going to bring in one of my favorite guys in town. I call him the running guru of Charlottesville. He knows it all. Mark Lorenzoni of Ragged Mountain Running and Walking Shop downtown on the corner. Mark, how are you today?
Excellent, Jerry. Thank you. Yeah.
I know I guess the big news in the running community this past week was Vin getting a contract extension, and that was huge.
It's no surprise, but it is big news in our world. When we found out a few years ago that Coach Lanana had signed with UVA, he was coming to UVA, this was probably the biggest story in the country in our sport during that week or two. He is the dean of the sport. He is, Tony Bennett, Mike Krzyzewski, Nick Saban. He is that caliber, reputation, that kind of background, that connected, that respected. And he chose Virginia at the twilight of his career, because he and I are pretty similar ages. We actually walked together. And notice I say we walked together. You think the running coach and Mark Lorenzoni would run together, but we're at an age where we can converse and get a lot accomplished and while we're exercising by walking. But anyway, he's big stuff. And in just two short years, and I would argue one of those years was, with the pandemic, he's just made some really the program, both cross country and indoor and outdoor track, have made some pretty amazing leaps. And with talk about stay tuned. We got big things coming. And then he secured, we talked about this before, but the XC23, the national championships, that's his influence. That's his connections, but it's also obviously the beautiful venue that UVA is connected with, Panorama. But he's kind of the voice, Jerry, Chris, in our sport. I mean, when I'm with him, his phone, it buzzes throughout he's constantly getting texts, constantly getting calls from people all over the world. People at International Olympic Committee, U.S. Olympic Committee, USATF, Phil Knight. One time he said, whoops, I got to take this call. Mark, hang on a second. It's Phil. Phil who? Phil Knight.
So, yeah, you better take that call.
he's just a good guy, good community-oriented guy. We're thrilled. And, the classic thing, it's like Bronco with his football team. It takes a cycle to get your own athletes recruited in. And this is his third year, and these are, caliber athletes that are running at this and competing at this institution now are the best in the country. So anyway, it's exciting news but not surprising. And Carla Williams, she knows how to pick them. Craig had a good, good corral of excellent coaches, and Carla's continued on, and she's smart. Yeah, grab him and hold him, because he's not going to let you down. There aren't going to be any controversies. There aren't going to be any losing seasons. There isn't going to be going backwards. I mean, he has his eyes set on big prizes, for this program. So it's good. And then, while we're talking cross country, guys, at the other end of things, we do have UVA's first home meet is this Friday out at Panorama. So that's going to be a good one. And Vin has set it up at a really good time. It's at 5:15, and then two races, 5:15. I think the second one's at 6:00, but just so folks can come, high schoolers, alumni, people that work can come on out to Panorama and see one of the best programs in America. And then the next day is the FUMA Invitational, probably one of the biggest, most prestigious high school cross-country invitationals out at Fork Union. And, just quickly touching, we'll talk about coaching how fortunate we are to have this really great core of coaches in Central Virginia for these high schoolers. And Winston Brown, who puts on this invitational, he's talk about deans of the sport. Winston has been out there for a long time at FUMA, and he's one of my personal favorites. He and I have very similar philosophies about coaching and, bringing kids along at the right level. injury prevention, lower mileage, and just a wonderful sense of humor guy. And so he hosts this meet every year out at FUMA. They've got a beautiful course out there. And we had our first poll, you know, and Jerry, you set it up. We talked about it last week, but when you were at the Progress years ago, the All Central Virginia Ragged Mountain cross country poll, what wonderful exposure. It was front of the sports page today. In fact, it was a banner day in the Progress, Jerry, because they had top of the fold was the Vin Lanana news. Below it was a profile on Maddie Gardner, one of the top female runners in the area, runs for Covenant. And then to the left of the sports page was the poll, which is really neat to see. And we have something I can't remember. I just asked Alec, have you ever remember, ever, a Woodbury Forest athlete being at the top of the poll? Obviously the boys, because it's an all-male school.
Right.
And Ferenc Kovacs is the kid from Hungary, top of the poll this week. So pretty tremendous. And then Jenna Stutzman, Western. It's wonderful, you know, take a sidebar real quick. Just the exposure the kids get from this is just pretty neat stuff to, you know, see how you do each week. So
I'm glad we started that, and I'm glad they continued it after.
Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful gift back to the community. And I gets a lot of, like I said, exposure, but a lot of people look for that Thursday paper. I've had many grandparents over the years say that they started subscribing to the paper just because of that, or they would pick up Thursday's paper. Just of course, it's online now too. But anyway, it's that time of year where we see the sport really starting to get rolling. And then I don't know, Jerry. We talked off air a little bit, but we at the other end of the spectrum of walking, we've got a walking club going once a month. You just go to Ragged Walks, and we've got several hundred people that are on the email list, about 500 people, and once a month. And we got that coming up next Sunday, the 26th, is our monthly walk. Don't have all the details yet. We've got a couple of places we're thinking, but we go either in the woods or we go on a country road somewhere. And we just, for most folks, they're places they've never been before. And it's just, you know, building community while on your feet, which has been, you know, my big mantra forever, you know, just bringing people together through fitness.
And that's what this podcast is all about, is trying to let people in our community know what's available to them to improve their health and fitness. And certainly you guys are a big part of that.
Thanks. So the last thing I'll just touch on today, I think we talked about a little bit, but just I was trying to leave with some kind of tip. And, you know, you had two medically oriented people talking prior to me. Kim Starr is a dear friend. She's one of my go-to physical therapists. I recommend her to my athletes and customers. I recommend them to her. She's really good at what she does. And she and I also have similar philosophies about taking care of yourself. And then if you do end up getting injured, how to take care of the situation once you're injured. And we're big on just these common sense treatments, basics. And one thing she and I talk about quite often is just the how we're seeing a lot of sneaky injuries on the rise that permeate into athletics, but it may not even be a person that considers them athletic, but it's sitting. And how sitting is fueling so many injuries. It's the number one cause of back injuries, back, you know, not sudden blunt force, you know, like a car wreck. But if suddenly, Jerry, you say, God, I've started having, my back's been bothering me, and now it's gotten chronic. And I have no idea. I haven't done anything that's, you know, out of the ordinary. I don't get it. I didn't have a blow to me. I didn't fall. And about 85% of the back injuries that I see, and I'm not a doctor's office, but you know, see 70 people a day, 80 people a day. A lot of the back injuries are, the source is sitting. And the same thing with hamstring, sciatica, iliotibial band, even plantar fasciitis. So anyway, I'm happy to talk anytime someone, they want to stop by, give them a good sitting posture clinic. There's a proper way to sit, and there's definitely an improper way to sit, that is the way most of us sit. And
I sit way too much behind this computer.
Yeah. So a good thing, Jerry, just for you, simply there is to just get up every half hour, literally stand up and walk around. There is so much research that tells us that it's called active sitting. And you think, okay, how can I be active when I'm sitting? But just get up every half hour and literally walk around the room and sit back down again. It's just really bad for us. So they can graph now. They look at 1980 to present, the number of hours we sit as Americans. And then you can also see on the same graph the trajectory of back, hamstring, plantar fasciitis. And they're almost, you know, on top of each other, the lines of the graph. You think, what's the correlation? And it's all tightness. You know, the tighter we become, the more prone we are.
That makes sense. It really does. And I will do that. I'll get up every half an hour.
Yeah. Seriously, set a buzzer or something on your watch.
Yeah. I've been battling some sciatica for a couple months now. So that's probably.
Yeah, so Jerry, sciatica, they used to call it traveling salesman's disease. And back then, when men were traveling salesmen and they used phrases like that, men would drive around a lot with their wallet in their back pocket. And when they were sitting in the car, the wallet would impinge, you know, cut the nerve right at, you know, at the top of your backside. And for the listeners who don't know what sciatica is, it radiates like an electric shock down from your backside, down about the back of your leg. And so just don't sit on the edge of your seat, Jerry. That's a really big thing. Sit back on your chair. The closer you come to the edge of the seat, the greater the chance. So.
All right, everybody. You heard how to avoid that. So I was listening for sure. Mark, thank you so much for your time this week.
Thanks for the
great
time.
Insight and updating us on the running community. We really appreciate you. And if you have any shoe issues or walking and running issues, go see Mark down on the corner. They're every day. Yep. They'll fix you up. We'll see you again next week, brother.
All right. Thanks, both you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Get the latest on the Hoos, basketball, football, and more online at jerryratcliffe.com or at augustafreepress.com.